WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Pretty presciently, back in 2012, Joe Biden said that trans rights would be the civil rights battle of our time. And on his first day in office as president, Biden rolled back some of the Trump administration's orders on trans rights. But civil rights don't just happen by executive order. They're argued in the court of public opinion, in popular culture, on television series and talk shows, and they take, sometimes, a very long time to play out. Producer Gofen Mputubwele has a story about that part of the struggle.
The story starts in March of 2017 with an interview that the Nigerian writer Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie was giving. Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie is probably the most famous African voice in the U.S. alongside Trevor Noah and Lupita Nyong'o. She's a hugely acclaimed novelist, but also, at the time, my generation's kind of go-to public feminist.
I mean, now I get sent every book that has anything to do with gender, but I don't feel that I'm the authority on feminism.
She had given this viral TED Talk that was featured on a song by Beyoncé.
We teach girls to shrink themselves, to make themselves smaller. We say to girls, you can have ambition, but not too much. You should aim to be successful, but not too successful. Otherwise, you will threaten the man. Feminist, a person who believes in the social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. You wake up,
post up. So, it's 2017. Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie and British journalist Kathy Newman from Channel 4 News are seated on these red armchairs. There's a wood table with a purple orchid plant growing up between them. Then the interviewer asks this question.
Staying with this issue of feminism, femininity, does it matter how you've arrived at being a woman? I mean, for example, if you're a trans woman who grew up identifying as a man, who grew up enjoying the privileges of being a man, does that take away from becoming a woman? Are you any less of a real woman?
So when people talk about, you know, are trans women women, my feeling is trans women are trans women. And I think if you've lived in the world as a man, with the privileges that the world accords to men, and then switch gender, it's difficult for me to accept that then we can equate your experience with the experience of a woman who has lived from the beginning in the world as a woman and who has not been accorded those privileges that men are. I don't think it's a good thing to talk about women's issues being exactly the same as the issues of trans women.
Do you remember this happening when this controversy was happening back in 2017?
Yeah. Well, I mean, across the African continent, like, social media blew up, but it just didn't ring true for many people's experience of being trans on the African continent.
This is Dr. B. Kaminga. They are a South African scholar. Kaminga, who's trans, and their community disagreed intensely with Adichie's take.
Do we need to put out statements? Does this mean that we give her more traction?
Dr. Kaminga started writing an essay, an article in a scholarly journal that basically says, okay, let's break down Adichie's statements. I came across that essay recently after Adichie came out in support of J.K. Rowling, who has made numerous transphobic comments. Scrolling through Black Twitter, as I do, there were Black Africans, Black Europeans, and Black Americans all positively retweeting and recommending this essay by Kaminga, who's a white South African. I approached Kaminga wanting to learn what had resonated so much. The essay basically takes one African lens to very universal questions. What is a feminist? And who is a woman? And it has to do with TERFs. T-E-R-F. What does the term TERF mean? And like, explain that to me in the context of what we're talking about.
It means trans-exclusionary radical feminist. Mm-hmm. And it is a way to name a kind of feminist belief and practice for a particular group of people who believe that at their most, like, mundane or at the most like simplest level that trans women are not women, and at its most extreme and violent level that trans women are somehow violent interlopers and are using their ability to transition to infiltrate cis women's spaces, and they present a danger to those spaces.
So what, like, how do you then in the paper like respond to that?
Well, I think in the way in which Adichie frames her argument, she makes three fundamental assumptions. The one was this idea that people just switch gender, which is like a very antiquated understanding of what it means to be trans. And it's kind of embedded in that language of one day a person might be this and another day a person might be that, as though it is that simple. But also that that's a kind of A to B linear journey. The word switching is it's problematic, but it's also a little bit aggressive. It undermines the kind of authenticity of a person's gender identity by suggesting that it's clothing in a closet that we can just pick one day or the next and be in the world, and that's a true experience of what it's like to be trans. The second thing that she alluded to was that all people who are trans women always live in the world as men. So they are never acknowledged as children, as girls, and then raised as women when they express themselves. I mean, I think many people might think about the African continent that way, as in that very like backward, barbaric kind of understanding, where it just would seem impossible that any family would acknowledge and love their trans daughter and raise a child that says, I am a girl, as a girl. And then the last thing she does is that when she talks about this idea of switching and male privilege, she discounts the fact that these people are women, that they are misgendered as children, and that we live on a continent with very few rights for trans people, and that male privilege and patriarchy are prized possessions, and that a person who's assigned male who expresses femininity will experience generally quite harsh and brutal backlash to that expression of self. So to frame that as somehow a privileged position is to overlook the ways in which a person might have to survive being consistently misgendered.
Tell me kind of like what you set out to do when you were writing this.
One of the things I really want to bring across is that trans-exclusionary feminism is a particularly global northern idea. It is a minority position that is being taken up in the media and being treated as a very mainstream position. It's being treated as the like fundamental facet of feminism. And it is not the fundamental facet of feminism, and that there are many strands of feminism. And in the global south, this doesn't seem to have much traction. Then I really wanted to, as a white trans scholar, elevate the voices of particularly Black trans women who had written. I mean, the one hashtag I note in the article is Chimamanda killed me. And you'd think using a hashtag like that would gain some notice or traction, but it just didn't. And I think that's because Black trans women from the global south are often maligned and sidelined in the kind of global conversation about trans rights.
So how does whiteness and your whiteness like connect to this, right? Because I think I noticed as I was talking to people about doing this interview, I was talking to a friend and they're like, you're speaking to a white South African. Like, how is that? you know, like.
Yeah, I mean, that carries a reputation.
Yes. Yeah. So how do you think about reason. That?
So when you approached me to do this, I had like a moment of, I don't want to, I'm a white person. I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And I understood myself in this paper as far as we know, I'm the first person on the African continent, trans person on the African continent to get their PhD. Hmm. So I recognize there's like a very deep sense of privilege in who I am based on whiteness, based on masculinity, based on historical power and privilege that has allowed me to enter the institution. And I hoped in writing this paper to kind of elevate the voices of these trans women who have really been my guides and my touchstones to become who I am.
Yeah, you. I see you citing everywhere.
Yeah, I want to make it clear that like some of this is my thinking, but a lot of it is this like really difficult work that these people are doing, and it's just not getting the acknowledgement that it should have gotten.
You explain this idea that in the West, we like imagine there's like a trans experience, and that just kind of is across the globe.
So I think like as much as with this idea that there's like a global womanhood, there's this idea that there's a global kind of trans experience, and that is you recognize that you are a trans man or a trans woman, and then you move from point A to point B, and often that includes medicalization, so access to affirming healthcare. So there is this kind of idea of a very linear movement, and it always includes a kind of medicalization. Mm-hmm. On the African continent, medicalization just really isn't an option in most countries. Mm-hmm. So the ways in which trans existence is imagined often, and that doesn't include this kind of medical imaginary. So then how does transness work outside of that? Mm-hmm. A handful of the people who are in my book, Transgender Refugees, yeah, they talk about coming to South Africa because they knew there were trans rights here, with leaving all their clothes behind. These are people who identify as trans women, and coming with a bag of dresses. Mm-hmm. And that their idea of South Africa was that they would finally just be able to wear their dresses. And that was it. That was what trans womanhood meant for them.
And so it's like, you know, one brings one's dress. Like I bring all my dresses to South Africa. And like me being a woman here, being a trans woman here, is like fully fulfilled in the ability for me to actually just like present and wear my dresses. Like that medicalization isn't necessarily a part of it. That doesn't like make something missing.
No, not at all. And I think it's this kind of, it makes me like a little bit sad in one space and a little bit really happy in another, because it speaks to this kind of very beautiful utopic idea of what gender could mean. Mm. You know, many across the continent, many trans women have beards. Mm-hmm. And that's either because it's to maintain a sense of safety, because they are living in societies where they're not accepted, mm-hmm, and having to pass as men sometimes. And for some trans women, it is just a part of who they are. Mm.
A lot of people got to know Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie through this TED Talk. Like, that's how a lot of us were introduced to her.
So that is how to create a single story. Show a people as one thing, as only one thing, over and over again, and that is what they become.
The single story the idea of it's dangerous to have one story of anything, really. And what it is to be African, I feel like, is maybe at the heart of her explanation of it.
I've always felt that it is impossible to engage properly with a place or a person without engaging with all of the stories of that place and that person. The consequence of the single story is this: it robs people of dignity. It makes our recognition of our equal humanity difficult. It emphasizes how we are different rather than how we are similar.
And so you bring that back in the paper and kind of bring this idea of are you Adichie creating a single story here? Tell me what you're getting at.
I'm
I can ask a better question.
No, it's fine. I'm willing to answer.
It's not meant to be. The question isn't meant to be a confrontational one, or
not at all. It's just when you suddenly have this rising sense of guilt because you really respect this person. I respect her writing. I respect as many of the people who respond in this paper do. She has done so much for the ways in which we understand feminism and for the kind of freedom of writing. I mean, even Akweki Amizi, who tweeted this paper, and that's when the traction started, comes out of Adichie's kind of writing school. And it's so it's just hard to answer because I feel like a naughty kid when I wrote this. I kind of am taking her narrative of a single story, attempting to take it back to her and ask the question about where, if we understand trans women as not to be women, then we can only end up in one narrative. And if we actually listen to trans women and what they're saying, and we listen to actually cis women who are defending this position and saying you've got it wrong, you have several other voices that are telling you completely different stories to this narrative of male privilege switching and always being seen as men. Because I do believe her when she says, you know, she supports LGBT rights. She certainly has done a lot to support LGBT people. But all of us can be on the wrong side of the narrative at some point.
Yeah.
That's producer Gofan Mputubwele. And he was speaking with Dr. B. Kaminga. You can find Kaminga's paper called Disregard and Danger at newyorkerradio.org.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink. Drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.